Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. You find it? We get our set there? I just want to talk to you tonight on the importance of praying. The importance of praying. Starting with verse number 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask." Amen?
Amen.
Verse 9, "And after this manner, therefore pray ye." You can pray with me out loud. You can say this with me out loud tonight. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And let's read also verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God, and thank you for the Scriptures that record what you have to say about all the important subjects of life. And thank you for coming to this world to reveal God to man and to tell us the things about heaven that no one had ever told us before. We ask your Holy Spirit now to teach us the importance of praying, and Lord, to challenge us to pray more than we do in belief and not in unbelief. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably prayer is the best weapon that we have in the Christian life for serving the Lord. Most of our battles are either won or lost in our prayer closet. And we're going to notice some things in the Bible on the subject of prayer tonight. You know, the important things that we feel are important, they have to be done on purpose. We have to put them high up on the priority list in our life, or they get lost. Isn't that right? And so the things that are important, the most important things in the Christian life, have to be done on purpose. You think about coming to church. That's pretty important. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, it's where we get our spiritual batteries charged. It's where we receive Christian fellowship. It's where we sit under the teaching of the Word of God. It's just such an important part in our life. And the fact that we're here this morning and tonight, and those of us that can make it on Wednesday night, we see the importance of it in our life and we value it. It's a priority, so we put it on the top of our list. Amen? And the same is true with anything else. Whether it be praying, we have to have a time and a place. If it's important, if it's going to get done, otherwise it's going to get lost in our priority list. Same is true of visitation or soul winning or witnessing. I know that you can witness as you go through the day, and we should be always on guard to give a reason of the hope that lies within us. Amen? And as we go through the day, to be willing to be used by Him, to cheer those that are sad, to comfort those that mourn, to give the gospel to those that are lost, to try to be a blessing to people around us. But on the other hand, we also have to have a time, I think, as a Christian, to just literally go out with the intent of witnessing, with the intent of being a blessing to people. And so it has to be on the list. And the same is true of our Bible reading. You know, that's a constant struggle for everyone. The pastor is not exempt from that struggle. I have to put it on my priority list. I have to put it up there each day as an important thing in my life. If I'm going to be an example to others, I certainly have to schedule Bible reading time for myself. And I know how important it is in my life, and I know how the devil fights me over my Bible time and my prayer time, and I know that you feel the same pressures too. Amen? And so prayer. Many times prayer, a secret prayer, doesn't get the time that it should have because it's really not on our list of important things, and we don't stick to it. But in any event, tonight, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us some very valuable teaching on prayer and what it is and talking to God and the purpose of prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Just what is the purpose of it? Notice verses 5 and 7. He says, "And when thou prayest..." Now, I would think that that first word is one that we should value. They're all important. But notice he expects us to pray. When you pray. He just takes it for granted that we believe in prayer. Amen? If you're saved, you believe in it. And he knows that you're going to pray. Sooner or later, the pressure gets to all of us. And you're going to pray. But when you do pray, notice, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." That is their reward. They are adored by the public. People think they're pretty nice guys, and that is their reward. But when you pray, what is the purpose of prayer? Our prayer, our purpose in prayer is not to be seen of men. Amen? When we have a purpose in prayer, our purpose is to talk to God. Amen?
Amen?
And it's not condemning united prayer. It's not condemning public prayer. But it is saying that our purpose in prayer is to be heard and to be seen by God. And not primarily to be seen by others. So notice verse number 7. "But when you pray..." There again, God is saying, I know you pray. I expect that you do pray. But when you do pray, remember this. Don't use the vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. I'm glad that God can interpret our prayers when we can't even find the words. Amen?
Amen?
When we just kneel before Him, we don't know what to say, but He knows our emotions, He knows our heart. And as we read already, He already knows what our needs are. And the Holy Spirit is able to take those groanings from our heart and translate it into the proper language where God understands how we feel and everything about it. I'm glad the Lord has saved me from the vain repetitions of the heathen. Amen? I can recall those days as an Episcopalian. Not putting down Episcopalians, but I'm just saying we used a lot of vain repetition. The whole church service was planned in the prayer book years ahead of time. I mean, we didn't vary from it. We stood up when we were supposed to. We sat down when we were supposed to. We knew everything that was going to happen. Nothing happened by accident or surprise. Unless someone dropped something, it blew our cover. We didn't know what to do if someone dropped something. I used to be a helper at the altar. We were called acolytes. We'd help the priest out. We'd come in early, help the priest mix the wine and to get everything ready for the people. And I can remember dropping the wafer once during communion. And I thought, oh my goodness, I dropped Jesus. I am doomed for hell forever. And I think the only thing worse than that is dropping the cup. What would I do if I ever dropped the cup? You know, and I felt guilty. I felt bad for a long time. But when I got saved, and I do think I had maybe a couple Christian Sunday school teachers in that church that cared for children and prayed for children. And so I'm not saying that it was all a bad experience. I think the Lord has everyone's life very interestingly planned in the people that we meet growing up and the things that happen in our life. But any event, I know how people are that are lost, that go to church, and vain repetition is a big part of it. This week, Brother John and myself had an interesting experience, one I've never had before as far as people dropping things off at church. He left the front door unlocked as he's working around here, and somebody dropped off a box of items. In that box were crucifixes and a big picture of the Pope, and there were beads and charms, and there were Catholic books in Polish. Everything was in Polish, and the only thing that I could figure is maybe a loved one passed away, and all these items were dropped off at the nearest church building, thinking that it was something that we would value. But all it did was remind me of my past growing up, being afraid to talk in church because God was there and you don't talk, you know, when God's in the room, and all of those other superstitions. But in any event, we're reminded tonight not to use the vain repetitions of the heathen, but just talk to God like you talk to anyone else. Amen? And so, what is the purpose of prayer? The purpose of prayer is prayer gives us access to God. That's how we communicate with Him. That's how we talk with Him, and we listen to what He has to say. And the prayer gains our attention of God. And that's so important that each day that we have, God has our attention, and likewise we have His attention, and we sit down together and spend some time together. Prayer gets us an answer from God. And prayer is important for that purpose, that we spend that time alone that's reserved just for Him. Amen? Amen. We got time for everything else. I know that there's... time is of the essence. Time is the important thing. And it seems like, and especially in these days, there's such a tug on us to do so many things at once. I mean, with the technology today, it's almost enough that it might kill you. You're trying to do so many things at once. You know, driving and texting is a big no-no. Amen? Amen. And even for those of us that believe that driving and texting is wrong, we have to constantly remind us of the importance of that, because we can get caught up in it too. Because when you're driving, you say, "Oh no, I can be visiting someone on the phone, or I can be, you know, doing another thing on my checklist." And but time, it seems like time is something that we all fight to keep some of it back, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil, the Bible says. But the purpose of prayer is to gain us an attention with God and gain us some time alone with God. And the place of prayer Jesus talks about is important in our life in verse number 6. He says, when you enter into your closet, wherever that place is where you can be alone and not be disturbed. And it's a place that you know well. Maybe there's a favorite place that you like to go, a place where you know it's quiet, a place you know it's peaceful. It could be an attic, it could be a basement, it could be the car, it could be by the Garrett Mountain, it could be by a lake, it could be anywhere. It could be in a garage, it could be in your living room in your favorite chair, it could be in your bedroom. Wherever that place is, when you go there. And God talks about the importance of that place. In the scripture, He calls it a closet. I can picture someone going in maybe a part of their room there and just closing the door and finally being alone. You know, isn't it true that when you have that quiet time, that's when the phone rings? It's when the doorbell rings. That's when people drop in. That's when you get all these tape-recorded messages. People, you know, "I've got very important news for you." Well, if it's so important, why don't you call in person? Amen? They give you a tape recording. But the closet tells the importance of being alone, just the two, God and yourself. And it talks about the place, the subject of prayer, the place, the closet, where God is, where God waits for us to go each day. And He looks forward to that quiet time with us. And I think that it saddens God when we do not make that, keep that appointment. Did you ever get stood up for an appointment? It's not very much fun, is it? You go through the, you know, all the work of setting up an appointment, and you go there and they're surprised to see you. You got ready for it and they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, we can't see you today. You know, we'll reschedule it." You know, we've got an appointment each day with the Lord. Amen. He looks forward to it, believe me. And we should look forward to it as well and keep that appointment. And if for whatever reason, we can call it providence, but if we can't make that appointment, we should find another time during the day or evening that we can meet with our Lord. Amen? And so this verse literally says, if you'll meet with God in the closet, that God will publicly show you His relevance in your life. Amen? And it's so important, the place of prayer. In verses 9 through 13, He tells us about the pattern of prayer. He says, after this manner, pray ye, our Father which is in heaven. And He gives us that great portion of Scripture of our Father in heaven and all the things in that great prayer, the disciples' prayer, that are important for us to keep in mind. And you know, sometimes if you don't know what to pray, think about the Lord's Prayer. Recite it. Think about it and apply it in your life. It starts off with worship. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a great way to start prayer. God, you are holy. God, you're a blessing in my life. I love you. I worship you. Thank you for your mercies. Amen. Hallowed be your name. Why you care about us wicked, hell-bound sinners, I don't know, but I thank you. And it gives us a pattern of or a type of a way that we pray in our life each day. Don't lead us into temptation. It talks about practical things. And it's a good pattern for us to think about as we pray. And so verses 9 through 13 is the pattern of prayer. It talks about prayer being the way we approach God. And you know, the devil will fight us there saying, you know, God doesn't care about your prayers. Doesn't that sound like the devil? God doesn't want you to pray. You're wasting your time. Amen. He doesn't care about you. Isn't that the way He is, isn't it? Amen. We got to keep Him in His place. Amen. We got to keep Him in His place. Prayer is asking God, verses 11 through 13. Just asking God, talking to God, asking God about our needs. And He'll help us once we get started. And prayer is adoring God. Think about who He is. Think about how wonderful He is. Amen. How powerful He is. The heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. The heathen see the glory of God every day. The firmament of the stars are a language that they can hear. And so wherever there are stars, wherever people can see His creation, that is a language that they can understand. And if they desire to know God, God will draw nigh unto them. God will send people to them with answers. I really believe that. Amen? That's why God calls missionaries to foreign lands. Because there are people that are looking up at those stars and they're wondering if there's more to it. Amen? But the pattern of prayer, asking of God, and prayer is adoring God. Verse number 13, for who He is. And notice verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Adoring God. Prayer brings power into our life. Maybe you're here tonight, you're saying, Pastor, I feel like I could use more power in my Christian life. Let me tell you, prayer is the energizer. Amen. Prayer makes all the difference. Prayer will give you power in your life, in your spiritual life. And when we neglect prayer, we're going to quickly see the power leaving us, spiritual power. We're going to start getting cranky. Amen. We're going to start getting a bad attitude. Prayer will help us to have a right attitude towards others. Prayer will give us a servant's heart. Prayer will cause us to love people that are unlovable. You say, how can you love so-and-so? Easy. With God, we can love everybody. Amen? You could even love your enemies. And that is a miracle, believe me. Amen? But prayer brings power into our life. It brings strength for our service. Look at Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. The early church is our model. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 through 33. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. You know, that's a whole lot different than communism, amen? Communism makes everybody the same, whether they want to or not. Christianity is a lot different. It's all voluntary. Just our very tithes and offerings are voluntary. Our service to God is voluntary. Everything we do is voluntary. Communism is a force that makes people do things against their will. Notice verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them, what?
All.
And it all begins with verse 31. And when they had prayed. When you read through the book of Acts and you find people being saved, you'll always, almost always find that there's prayer being made. And so prayer is a very important part of the Christian church. Your prayer life is very important. It's needed for the ministry of our own church. Amen? And where you see people being saved, you're going to find out that there are people praying. Amen? The two cannot go without the other. They're both vitally important. So prayer gives strength for service. Maybe you get a little tired being a Sunday school teacher. Pray. Don't quit. Amen? Pray for more strength. Pray for more endurance. In Acts chapter 12, we see once again the importance of prayer. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 1. Sometimes we are surprised by God when we pray. And notice Peter's delivered from prison here in Acts chapter 12. And notice, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. How terrible that must have been to those that loved him. How terrible it must have been to those that knew him well. And to be saddened by such a terrible thing. And notice verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But notice those next two words, but prayer. Amen. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That was their pastor. I would hope that if the police arrested me, and if the police came, and if they apprehended me, that means I was running. Amen. They had to work at it. I would hope that our church would pray without ceasing for me. Well, I'm not encouraged by those amens at all. I'm really not. I might have to start a new church in prison. Amen. But I would hope that the church would pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Thank you, Bob. I knew I could count on you. Bob's saying, well, just don't get arrested on Monday Night Football. Amen. Oh, my soul. But notice verse number 6. But when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter in the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. I'll tell you, Peter must have thought he was dreaming. Amen? And this angel comes into the prison and wakes up Peter, and he releases him, and he escapes from jail. All because God's people were praying without ceasing. Unusual things many times happen because God's people pray. And notice verse 8, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. I would like to go back in time to see that literally happen. Amen? I'd like to see them walk through that prison and have the doors open, and all of a sudden they're walking down the street and this angel disappears, and Peter's standing there just wondering at what it all means. And then verse number 11, and when Peter was come to himself, I imagine he stood there for a while, maybe shaking, maybe slapping himself and pinching himself and wondering, is this really happening to me? But when he came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to have my head cut off. The sword is not going to get me this time. Oh, I'll bet he was so excited over that. Notice verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They're still praying. They're still praying for Peter. And Peter is standing out there just as free as a bird. And they're praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she knew Peter's voice. Did you get that? Peter was her pastor. I hope you know my voice. If I call you on the phone, you don't need caller ID, amen? That's pastor. I don't know how many times I've called someone in the church, and before I get a chance to say much, they say, oh, hi, pastor. You know, there's just something, we know each other's voices. That's a good thing, amen? And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. Peter's outside knocking on the door. Rhoda comes to the door, takes a quick look, sees the pastor is excited and interrupts the prayer meeting. I said, Peter's out there. You're crazy. Said, no, he's out there. I'm telling you he's out there. And then I thought, oh no, he's dead. That's his ghost. He's resurrected too. They're all excited. And they're praying. They're still praying. But she insists that it is not an angel. Notice verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. I'll tell you what. Visitation pays off. Amen. If you're persistent enough, he got in that house. And when they opened her door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. What an amazing story about the power of prayer. Amen? Amen. While the church was praying, they got their prayers answered. And you know, it also teaches us sometimes that God answers our prayer when we're still praying about it. Amen? We got the prayers on the way already. We don't know it yet. And so it's still a burden to us. Many times prayers are answered even in spite of the fact that we're still asking. We're still praying. But the answer is truly on the way. And so a lot of times we're surprised when we pray, because God gives us exactly what we're asking. Even though this was a tremendous answer to prayer. I mean, with the persecution going on and people are falling by the sword, and now their pastor is apprehended and he's awaiting his execution. They were totally surprised the fact that God answered exactly the prayers that they were sending up. In Acts chapter 16, we have salvation of many people because of prayer. You read through that chapter one by one as people are being saved. There is prayer being made. And notice verses 14, 15, and 16 of Acts chapter 16. And a certain woman named Lydia, A seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So we see once again prayer is right in the middle of conversions here. Amen. I can't stress any stronger the importance of prayer for the church. Prayer, daily prayers. Amen. And Wednesday night prayer meetings, so important. Prayer. If we want to see people continue to be saved, there has got to be prayer. Because you can't separate salvation of souls from prayer and the ministry of prayer. So God gets all the glory. Amen. Notice verses 16, 17, and 18. And it came to pass, verse 16, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And this soothsayer, this fortune teller, was saved as the spirit of divination came out of her because, I believe, because of importance of people that believe in prayer and the men of prayer and people of prayer. We'll go down to verse 25 of Acts chapter 16. We have that famous Philippian jailer is saved as Paul and Silas are singing and praying. Notice verse 25, And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It would have been so easy for them to be discouraged. It would have been so easy for them to be down in the dumps. It would have been so easy for them to think of themselves as being victims. And yet at midnight, there they are, beaten up. They still got the stains and the sting of the whip on their back. And yet they're happy that they were able to be persecuted in the name of Jesus. And they begin to pray. And they didn't care if anybody heard them or not. And they begin to sing unto the Lord. And notice verse 26, And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, walking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Amen. That's all you have to do, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. Oh, listen, the word of God does more than we ever thought of. Amen? And that is what people need to hear today. They need to hear the word of the Lord. Not what we think about the word of the Lord, not so much so many other things, but the word of God will accomplish what it set out to do. It will not return void. Amen. I think of this mother this morning came with her family because the word of God was left at her doorstep. Now, I don't know who took that street, but whoever it was, I'll tell you something, it did produce some fruit. Amen. So we don't know. We don't know what happens a lot of times, but sometimes we see the results. Notice verse 33, And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. Now that is quite a miracle. If we could turn back the hands of time a little bit when this jailer is perhaps beating these same people and carrying out his orders to persecute them and put stripes on their back, you would never believe that in a few short hours that same person is going to be having them over his house to eat and washing the wounds on their backs. Amen. And rejoicing in the same Savior. Amen. And being baptized by them. Can you imagine that? I don't even think Paul and Silas believed when they were being beaten at the time that they were thinking in the back of their mind, you know, enjoy yourself while you're hitting me, but you're going to be baptized later. I don't think he thought that at all. Do you? I think he was just thinking, ouch. Ouch. Amen? But I tell you, prayer is a wonderful tool that God has given to us in the Christian life. We shouldn't ever take it for granted. It's important. Let's keep it on the top of our priority list, because there are many promises in the Bible concerning prayer. Many times it's good just to memorize and quote some precious promises on prayer. Tonight, before we dismiss, I need 5 volunteers. John? Richard? Henry? 3? Bobby? 4? Get one more. Alright, VJ. Alright, VJ, we're going to start with you. I want you to look up Jeremiah 33:3 and be prepared to read it out loud when I call on you, alright? Jeremiah 33:3. Henry? Matthew 7:7-8, okay? Robert? Matthew 21:22. Who's number? Who else besides John? Richard! I see you, Richard. Don't hide there behind everybody. I like to tease Richard. He's easy to tease, isn't he? John 15:7, Richard. Alright? And Brother John Sable, Matthew 18:19. Yes. Okay. All right. Okay, you all got your assignments? All right, when I call on you, please stand and read your prayer promise out loud to us. All right, VJ?
Call on to me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Amen. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Robert.
All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Amen.
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 All right. Richard.
If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right, John.
Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for you, for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Henry, last of all.
Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray more this week. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.